You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here today. There's a lot to get to on today's show. Rick Barnes talks about officiating in the SEC. He's been in contact with the league office, the SEC, with a statement on Anthony Jordan, the official in the Tennessee-LSU game on Saturday. I'll get to that on today's show. I'm going to save that for the final segment. I'll tell you here at the beginning of the show, I am a little tired of talking about officiating, but it is a big topic, and I'm going to get to it. There's also just some flat-out incorrect information out there, and I'll try to correct that for you in the third segment of today's show. Before I get to all of that, you'll hear Rick Barnes talk about his basketball team. I think that's a much more important subject. So in segment number one, trying to get some of the things corrected, especially on the offensive end. Defensively, we've talked about that, but offensively, Tennessee has not played its best basketball recently either. Assist numbers are down. Rick Barnes will talk about that. Jordan Bowden has struggled a little bit. That's no secret. Rick Barnes talks about him playing at a higher level, being more consistent. That's coming up in just a moment right here on Locked On Vols. And in segment number two, Steve Wiltfong of 247sports.com will stop by. He's a national recruiting director for 247. He's going to talk about Brian Niedermeyer, who was 247 Sports National Recruiter of the Year, and the 2019 class for Tennessee. That's coming up in the second segment, and then the third segment today, I'll get to officiating. Right here on Locked On Vols, your team every day. The show is available every day on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, the third-party apps, and your smart speaker can play the Locked On Vols podcast. Anywhere you get podcasts, you can find Locked On Vols. So Tennessee finds itself in a position looking to try to break out of a little bit of a slump. Tennessee has lost two of its last three. It's lost back-to-back games on the road at Kentucky and at LSU. The LSU game did have a little bit of controversy, but Tennessee still should have won that game. With 5 minutes to go, you have a 7-point lead. You get two offensive rebounds in a possession, and you give up the lead. But just before that, Tennessee had a 9-point lead. Different stretches in the second half. Tennessee had a 9-point lead, and it went away. And defensively, Tennessee needed to be better. It has needed to be better a lot of different times this season, and I've brought that up most often. But offensively, recently, Tennessee has struggled. Shooting has been worse for Tennessee. The guys who have helped lead Tennessee in scoring have not really been able to keep pace with where they've been, which is not that big of a surprise because it is later in the season. Tennessee is playing tougher competition as well. But we've now hit a pretty long stretch of guys not hitting their season averages, and the shooting performances by Lamonte Turner and Jordan Bowden over the last week and a half have been troubling. But they've gone through it before in the past, and they've been able to break out of it. I think there is some confidence from that it'll happen again. I continue to bet on, I think these guys will figure something out. I've said that I think Tennessee will go 2-0 this week. I could absolutely be wrong there, and Tennessee doesn't need to be thinking about Kentucky yet. Tennessee needs to be focused on Ole Miss, which I bet it will be. But Rick Barnes was asked about Tennessee's assist numbers because those have been down. And I think that might be the number one stat to look at to say, okay, things are not right. They're not quite right, at least, with this offense. And when Tennessee was at its best earlier in the season, you were seeing terrific ball movement and an offense that was really flowing really well. That's not been the case recently. Rick Barnes was asked on Monday when he met with the media about the assist numbers being down. Is it concerning? What do they do? Here's Tennessee basketball coach Rick Barnes.
Yeah, well, it's a concern because we got too many guys playing with the ball, holding the ball too long, trying to think they've got to make the play when in reality they don't. Ever since we've been here, when we've been good, it's when we're all moving the ball, playing together, and letting the offense work for it, as opposed to guys trying to dribble, raise up and shoot the ball. And it comes mostly from the guards, you know, where if they're going to dribble, at some point in time they got to get fouled. You look at that number, we're probably as low as any team in the league where our guards drive the ball and get fouled. They choose to raise up and shoot difficult jump shots. And we don't even want them to do that. We want them to continue to let our offense work, but our guards do need to get fouled more, and the only way they're going to do that is being more aggressive attacking the basket as opposed to just settling for jump shots.
So Rick Barnes says his guards need to get fouled more. That's left out of the conversation when we talk about foul disparity or free throw attempts. sometimes you need to go draw contact. And Tennessee has not been very good. Tennessee's around the 100th ranked team in the country in free throw attempts per game. An offense that is able to move the way that it is, and it has players who can be physical, Tennessee should be at the free throw line more often. So that's something that Tennessee needs to work on the offensive end. Move the basketball, and Tennessee will benefit from it. Now, one of those players specifically, Jordan Bowden. Rick Barnes was asked about him. How can Tennessee's coaches help Bowden break out of his shooting slump? What can they do for him? Here's Rick Barnes' answer.
That's a great question, and you know what? It's up to him to do his job. I mean, we can't put everything on certain guys every night. We need everybody to do their job, and consistency is a key word, but that's been a key word with him throughout his career. And when he has been at his best is when he is totally locked in on the defensive end, getting out running the lanes like he's capable of. So, again, I don't have any question he's going to do that, but we need him to do it now.
Better defense might create better offensive opportunities. I think Jordan Bowden will be fine. It's not all about the three-point shot. It should not be with Jordan Bowden or Lamonte Turner or Jordan Bone. That should not be the only focus. That needs to improve, no doubt. But defensively, Jordan Bowden can play well no matter what. His shooting should not affect his defense, and that would apply to the other players as well. And I think that's part of the message from Tennessee's coaching staff. And Rick Barnes has also continued to say he'll rely on the law of averages working out on the offensive end with Tennessee shooting. Defense is what they can control truly, and I think that's going to be a focus heading down the stretch, because I mentioned last week, when you look at the last 11 national champions in college basketball, all of them were in the top 20 in defensive efficiency. Tennessee's not all that close right now to the top 20. The numbers have actually improved here the last couple of games, but Tennessee has some work to do, and I think that's the main message from Tennessee's coaching staff. The offense will most likely take care of itself. Tennessee needs to take care of the defense. Tennessee will be back in action Wednesday night at Ole Miss. Tomorrow's show will get you prepared for the game. Tennessee against an Ole Miss team that has been one of the big surprises in the SEC and really all of college basketball. Ole Miss is an NCAA tournament team. It's a big opportunity on the road for Tennessee tomorrow night. Tomorrow's show will have a nice preview for you on that. In the third segment, you'll hear Rick Barnes talk about communicating with the SEC office, about officiating, and I'll bring some clarity to some false information out there. I'll get to that coming up in the third segment. Coming up next, Steve Wiltfong of 247sports.com will join the show. I'll get his thoughts on Tennessee's 2019 class and what Jeremy Pruitt and his coaching staff have done on the recruiting trail. That's right here on Locked On Vols. Remember, if you have any questions or comments for the show, please send them my way at Josh_Ward on Twitter. Reach out to me there anytime. You can also follow my Facebook page, facebook.com/Josh Ward. Questions and comments for the show are always appreciated. So I want to welcome to the show now Steve Wiltfong from 247sports.com, the national recruiting director there. Steve, I really appreciate the time. I want to dive into Tennessee's 2019 class, but let's start with Brian Niedermeyer, Tennessee's tight ends coach, who was recognized by 247 as the National Recruiter of the Year. He went out and landed several big-time players in this class for Tennessee. What stood out about the work that he did and the impact that Brian made on Tennessee's 2019 class?
Well, when you look at the jewels of this Tennessee class, Quaveris Crouch, Darnell Wright, Henry Toato, those three top 100 recruits, Brian Niedermeyer was the lead recruiter on. Quaveris Crouch, the number one ranked prospect in the state of North Carolina, you go toe-to-toe with Clemson. Clemson didn't lose too many head-to-head battles in this 2019 process for targets that they pushed for. Quaveris Crouch was one that Tennessee really rallied, and I think the in-home visit with Coach Pruitt and Coach Niedermeyer was big for Tennessee down the stretch. Darnell Wright, Tennessee took on all comers from Ohio State to Alabama to West Virginia at the end. The relationship with Brian Niedermeyer for the five-star offensive tackle was big in that recruitment and helped the Vols secure one of their more coveted targets. Then Henry Toato, the top 247 linebacker from Concord, California, national powerhouse program. He's got eight brothers and sisters, I believe, and Brian Niedermeyer was able to form a connection with all the siblings. The parents loved him. So it shows his relatability to people of all ages, kids, prospects, coaches, and adults. And you look at where those recruits are from, North Carolina, California, West Virginia. Brian Niedermeyer goes to three different parts of the country and snags a blue chipper from each place. Tuatoato, strongly considered Alabama. You beat Alabama down the stretch, and then all the Pac-12s for him. So very impressive for a man that was on 24/7 Sports 30 to know under 30 in college football prior to the fall, quickly becoming a household name for those that follow recruiting closely.
And with the offensive line class, to close with Darnell Wright after the Vols had landed Wanya Morris back in December, and he's now on campus, what does that do for Tennessee? What do you think of the offensive line class overall for Tennessee with it being highlighted by Wright and Morris?
Well, from everything I've heard, they're going to be counting on those guys right away, and they'll have body types to come in and make an impact. We'll see if they're strong enough able to understand what the offensive coordinator Jim Chaney and company are asking them to do moving forward. But I mean, those are guys that were coveted players, five stars, highly regarded prospects that Tennessee went out and landed, and you know, we'll see if they live up to their billing and reputations on the prep level.
And then, you know, back to another guy you mentioned, Quavarius Crouch. He's a guy that he could have been one of the top running back prospects in the country. His plan is to play linebacker at Tennessee. I think he could be on the outside there, but just athletically, what stands out about Quavarius Crouch? Why was he so well thought of, no matter whether he played offense or defense as a prospect?
Well, as a junior en route to a state championship, if I remember correctly, he was a standout running back and a guy that linebacker really grew on him late in the process as far as potentially playing it in the future, bought into Coach Pruitt and what he could develop into as a second-level defender under his tutelage and the Vol staff's guidance in Knoxville. And he's a guy that was flashing right away at the All-American Bowl before injury kept him from competing the rest of the week. Quavarius Crouch missed most of his senior year. So we'll see how he bounces back in the SEC after not playing much football last fall.
And one other player specifically I want to ask you about, Steve, in Tennessee's class, talking to Steve Wiltfong, 247sports.com, is Brian Maurer. He's on campus as well now, but a guy that last summer appeared to see his stock rise, and that brought an offer from Tennessee. But what do you think about Brian Maurer, the quarterback now enrollee for Tennessee in this 2019 class?
Well, I got a chance to see Brian up close at the opening finals and thought that he threw it as well as any of the signal callers there on air there at the opening finals in Texas. Had a strong senior year, threw for over 3,500 yards, 34 touchdowns, ran for nearly 506 more, so he brings a little of that ability to the field, completed 65% of his passes. So you like that as well. Would like to see that interception total go down through a dozen picks as a senior, but honestly how some of those balls may have been off receivers' hands into defensive backs, I'm not sure the story on all 12 of those picks, but 6'3", with the frame to develop physically and a guy that had a really strong senior year.
Steve, when you look at recruiting in the SEC, you have so many schools that were ranked very highly, both in the top 10 or if you look in the top 25 of the composite rankings. What stood out to you about recruiting in the SEC, especially in the top 10 to 15 nationally with so many SEC schools there?
Well, A&M pushed their way back into the top five with a very dynamic class, especially on defense, went out and landed arguably the top player in the country in DeMarvin Leal, a versatile defensive lineman, and really upgraded the athleticism on defense, which I think was really one of their bigger issues as they try and be competitive in the SEC. I think Florida signed arguably the best back seven class in the country when you're looking at back eight for them, when you're looking at linebackers and defensive backs. They did a tremendous job recruiting second and third levels. Alabama, number one in the country for the eighth time out of 9 years. Georgia, right on their heels, pound for pound. Those were the best two classes in the country, too, when you look at average star ranking per commit, but a lot of good classes in the SEC. Arkansas finished in the top 25 as well, despite winning one ball game last year. So Chad Morris and his staff getting young men to buy into the potential and future in Fayetteville.
Yeah, and with the top classes there for Alabama and Georgia, what have they done with what they're bringing in terms of how it compares to other schools? Like Tennessee's trying to catch up with those schools. Florida's trying to catch up with Georgia in the East as well. What does that race look like based on the talent that was signed this year?
Well, Alabama went out and signed one of the best offensive line classes in the country and then maybe one of the best defensive line classes I've seen doing this, and I've been at 24/7 Sports for 9 years now, so this is an epic defensive line class for Alabama. They're going to continue to dominate in the trenches in Georgia. They finished one last year, finished two the 2 years around it, led by Nolan Smith, the five-star outside linebacker for them, who's extremely athletic. I think that they just continue to stockpile difference makers all over the field. It's everybody else is going to have to. So while Alabama and Georgia are landing a lot of no-brainers, the other schools in the SEC maybe getting a handful of no-brainers, and then some developmental guys with maybe that no-brainer ceiling, but a trade or two missing or they haven't flashed that kind of dominance yet. But there's some traits to be developed, and we'll see if they can get it out of them in their respective programs.
Hey, last thing, we'll close things out here, Steve. Steve Wiltfong, 247sports.com. Now that we talked about Brian Niedermeyer, Tennessee staff overall, what do you think about what you've seen from their work the first year on the recruiting trail, and then adding somebody like T. Martin? Any thoughts there on Jeremy Pruitt and what Tennessee will try to do in 2020?
Well, from a pure recruiting standpoint, Jeremy Pruitt's a former 24/7 Sports Recruiter of the Year when he was at Florida State. He helped recruit NFL players to Georgia, Florida State, Alabama, and now you're hoping at Tennessee. So first of all, he's got a keen eye for talent on the trail, and then has everywhere he's been, a lot of those guys have been developed and won a lot of ball games and won championships and made it to the NFL. So Jeremy Pruitt has that track record, and I think from a head coach standpoint, again, like his in-home with Claveris Crouch, I think was a game changer. He's shown that he can close Henry To'ato'ato. Those were tight battles down the stretch that Tennessee pulled out. Obviously, Brian Niedermeyer is flexed his muscles this year. T. Martin was a 24/7 Sports Recruiter of the Year as well when he was at USC, but he recruited USC's backyard. I think my wife and your wife could have got a lot of those guys to go to USC. Now he gets to recruit at his alma mater, a place that definitely is close to his heart and should be an easy transition for him to recruit at Tennessee. Derek Ansley had a nice profile as a recruiter. Chris Rump for sure. It's a staff that Will Friend seems to be a guy that these offensive linemen are connecting with. Chris Wanky out there pounding the pavement for the ball. See his name out there a lot. And the off-field staff at Tennessee is really accomplished with guys that have worked for several successful places or some of them come from the junior college setting. And so there's just a really nice blend of personalities and backgrounds at Tennessee. We'll see if they can get it going on the field. Tennessee had some really good recruiting wins under the previous staff and guys that were highly recruited and guys that we were excited about at 24/7 Sports and guys that fans in Knoxville were excited about. But what happened was is they didn't get developed well, or it's hard for me to imagine that all those guys were misses. And obviously Tennessee had the 1 year where they started 8-0 or whatever it was. I mean, that team had a shot. Didn't, you know, fizzled off there. So we'll see if Coach Pruitt and company can get their culture in and it's sustainable. But you like what you're seeing so far with how hard the team played in year one. Obviously, a couple games they want to have back, and then how they recruited this cycle and especially closed it. It looks promising, and we'll see where it goes in year two.
Yep, Jeremy Pruitt trying to build things back up at Tennessee. If he's going to do that, it takes success on the recruiting trail. He's covering it for 247sports.com.
Player development after that, baby.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, again, they had success on the trail under Butch, or at least it looked like it. with player development, getting guys to believe they can win, especially in that league. You know, Coach Pruitt and a lot of the guys on staff have won in that league, but getting the kids to believe it and getting them in the right position to win, that's the challenge. But I like their chances heading into year two.
Yeah, I'm with you. Steve Wiltfong, 247sports.com. Always great information. Steve, thanks so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Coming up here in just a moment on Locked On Vols, Rick Barnes addresses his discussion with the SEC office about officiating and what happened on Saturday. And the SEC has a statement on Anthony Jordan and the Facebook post with him holding the LSU Tigers T-shirt from 5 years ago. I'll get to that coming up next on Locked On Vols, which is here 5 days a week on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, your smart speaker. And if you get in your car and you want to listen to the show on your commute, all you have to do is tell your smartphone to play podcast Locked On Vols. It should come right up for you. It's Locked On Vols here 5 days a week, part of the Locked On Podcasts Network. Before I get to the statement that was provided by the SEC on Monday regarding Anthony Jordan and the Facebook post. And if you didn't hear about it, Anthony Jordan was one of the three officials working the Tennessee-LSU game. And a Facebook post from 2014 was discovered with him holding up an LSU Tigers T-shirt. And in the post, he had written G-E-A-U-X Tigers. And it was supposed to be a message to Alabama fans. Before the SEC statement, Rick Barnes was asked about that post. Was he aware of it? Had he been in discussion with the SEC league office? Here's what Rick Barnes said about that on Monday.
I am aware of it. Obviously, you know, it's been brought to my attention, and all I can tell you is that I've got trust and faith in the SEC office, that I know they are going to do their due diligence and look at it, and I just think that they will handle it the way it should be handled, and that's really all I can say about it. I mean, I'd really, truly always try to be as honest as I can with you guys. In a situation like that, all I can do is tell you the protocol that I have to go through and truly believe that the SEC will do their due diligence, which I have full confidence they will. Sure. I have been in contact with them since the game a couple of different times, and I appreciate them and how they've talked to me and what we've talked about. And like I said, I have full confidence they're going to do the right thing. I really do. They understand the situation, and they're as upset about it as we would be. But the fact is, they'll handle it, and then we've got to get ready to play another game.
And I do agree with that. Tennessee needs to be focused on getting ready for another game, not a Facebook post or what happened with Anthony Jordan and the calls that he made. And I've got some numbers to tell you about the calls that he made on Saturday in just a moment. But the SEC did put out a statement. This was courtesy Joe Rexroad with the Tennessean. He had reached out to the SEC. They provided a response via email on Monday, and I'll read that statement to you. Quote, Anthony Jordan, the official in this social media post, has communicated to us that while traveling in Spain 5 years ago, he saw the T-shirt from an SEC team for sale in a store. He took a picture and posted that picture to be seen by friends via his social media account. He said it was his intent to make a lighthearted social media post about having seen the T-shirt in another country and not to express affinity for a particular school. Jordan has officiated at a high level in the SEC for 19 years, including 11 assignments in NCAA postseason tournaments. We do not find the social media post to be acceptable with our expectations and will proceed accordingly, while also acknowledging Mr. Jordan has a lengthy track record as a fair and impartial basketball official. That is the statement from the SEC. I would say a pretty easy conclusion right now for the SEC moving forward would be to not have Anthony Jordan work LSU games. And I would say for the foreseeable future, it's probably best that he doesn't work Tennessee games just to avoid any kind of controversy that could pop up. He does a few games of each team per year, and I would just say, okay, no LSU games with this kind of connection, and I wouldn't have him officiate Tennessee games just to avoid any kind of conversation about it. I do feel like I need to clear up something that maybe you're aware of, maybe not. I mentioned on Monday's show that there were some numbers floating around out there from a message board post that just weren't accurate about Anthony Jordan's calls on Saturday, and then it picked up even more traction on Monday, I think largely because Seth Greenberg on SiriusXM regurgitated the numbers that are not accurate. He mentioned on his SiriusXM show, Seth Greenberg, he's the former Virginia Tech coach, works for ESPN. I think he does a fine job as an analyst. But he mentioned that Anthony Jordan blew his whistle 44 times in the Tennessee-LSU game, and that the other two officials blew their whistle 23 and 19 times. Greenberg also mentioned that of those 44 blown whistles by Anthony Jordan, 29 of them went against Tennessee and 15 went against LSU. Well, first of all, a little common sense says that just can't be right, because every time an official blows his whistle does not mean a call is being made one way or the other. I also know those numbers are not right because Monday I went back and I watched the game and I counted all the whistles blown by each official. And if you want to be bored, go back and count every whistle being blown in a basketball game, and my goodness, you will be ready to move on with your time. But after doing so, I discovered that every official blew his whistle between about 23 and 29 times. Bart Lennox actually blew his whistle the most. I counted 29 times. And by the way, when I'm counting whistles, I'm counting all of them. I'm counting when an official blew his whistle before the ball was inbounded. I'm counting when an official blew his whistle before a jump ball. I'm counting when an official blew his whistle because a team called a timeout. Those are not calls for or against a team. That's just blowing the whistle to stop play because that's the official's job. Anthony Jordan did not blow his whistle anywhere close to 44 times. Those numbers, which appeared to come from a message board post, they're clearly fabricated. They're not true. They're made up. And a problem we run into is that that information spreads so easily and is so believable, it's just inaccurate. So I would say Anthony Jordan should not officiate LSU games moving forward. I wouldn't have him officiate Tennessee games anytime soon. But those numbers that you might have seen, and if you haven't, good for you, that say Anthony Jordan blew his whistle 44 times, which was more than the other two officials combined, not anywhere close to being accurate. And I hope this kind of concludes officiating conversation. I get why it's out there, and the Facebook post thing should be discussed, and the SEC needs to address that. But Tennessee needs to work on itself. I've said that before. I'll say that again. I'll probably repeat it on tomorrow's show. The way Tennessee plays is the most important thing for the Vols to get things corrected, not the way the officials call games. That's my opinion, at least. I really appreciate you being here on Locked On Vols. If you do have time to rate and review the show, please do so. Big thanks to everybody who has done that so far. More Tennessee basketball and football talk coming up on tomorrow's show. Locked On Vols here 5 days a week. My name's Josh Ward. Thanks so much for hanging out here today, and I'll see you here tomorrow.